Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here again with Matt Orsog, who's director of capital markets policy of the CFA Institute. Matt and I taped a podcast last August, so I guess this is becoming an annual thing. And I wanted to catch up with Matt on a new report that's come out from the CFA Institute in conjunction with the Business Roundtable called Visionary Board Leadership, Stewardship for the Long Term. There's a link to the report from where you access this podcast. So the first question for you, Matt, I'm always curious because I know these reports are a lot harder than they look. How long did it take to put the report together?
Well, the report came out at the Corporate Secretaries Conference in early July 2012, and we probably began working on it maybe a year and a half before then, early 2011. Wow. And the process was, you can look at you can read the report and look in the back of the report and see who was involved. And it was basically everyone in the financial markets who has an interest in this question of short-termism and investing. It was current directors and former directors. It was investors. It was the corporate secretaries, as I said. It was National Institute of Investor Relations Institute. Directors, consultants, and what have you, all across the board. And what we did at first was talk to those people individually and say, okay, we want to look at the issue of short-termism and what directors can do about that. To back up a little, we did a report on the issue of short-termism in 2006 that was similar in looking at what is the problem of short-termism, but we didn't focus on directors exclusively and what they could do. Since then, a lot has been written on short-termism in the U.S. and outside, and how much of a problem is it and what could be done, but not much focused on who we thought were some of the most powerful actors in this, which is boards, who have the leadership power to do something about the issue of short-termism. So that's where we decided to focus. And when we started talking to folks about a year and a half ago, early 2011, we came up with six things that we wanted to focus on out of those conversations. So those conversations went on, most of last year in 2011. We held two symposiums early in 2012 that focused on those six issues: quarterly earnings practices, share owner communication, strategic direction, risk oversight, executive comp, and then culture, and that's board culture and company culture. Now, it was kind of being written all along the way. We were talking about some of those things in 2011, and some of those notes still made it in the report. And then we held two different on-site meetings here at CFA Institute with the panel that you see if you read the back cover of the report itself. And so it was an ongoing process. So it didn't all start, at the end of that last meeting. Yeah. So it took a year and a half, but it wasn't sitting with a hot lamp over me for 2.5 years, but it was an iterative process over that time frame. And we had some great people working on it with us, and so it was easy to get a lot of that information, some of the rich quotes you'll see in there and some of the ideas. They didn't come just from me, but they came from a lot from this panel.
So what do you think, drilling down into some of the six areas, what are some of the main lessons that could be drawn from the report?
I think a lot of what we look for, and we see a problem, we look for, I want a magic bullet that's going to get rid of this. I want a button to press or this one thing to focus on. And what we found is, not surprisingly, this issue and the issue of board leadership in general. I think short-termism is what we started focusing on. But what we found is what we were really talking about was we want better board leadership at companies, and these are some of the areas we can focus on. In quarterly earnings practice, having the board work with management about figuring out, okay, what do we want our quarterly earnings practice to be, and share owner communications, having boards talk more to share owners and make sure that there's a process for listening to share owners, because we found out, there's some fear about Regulation FD and can boards talk to share owners. And we can get around a lot of that if what they focus on mostly is listening to share owners and making sure they're getting the the message the share owners want to send. You know, I think as of I saw a couple of weeks ago, and it may have changed since then, there were 54 companies that had received a no vote on an executive pay this year. And it was, I think, somewhere in the low 40s last year. I would expect over time that number is going to go down as more companies, as more boards, as more management listen to share owners in this time. You know, proxy season is usually in the spring, in this time from, you know, July through September, October, to see what the concerns of share owners are and to go out there and proactively listen to them. And so we can address a lot of these issues that cause a lot of strife in proxy season and get, and there's always going to be disagreements between, you know, some investors and companies and boards. But what's one of the things that surprised us was that how much of that isn't happening. It's happening at some larger companies and some of the folks that do governance well, but how much just people don't talk, yeah, who have disagreements on this stuff, and how that would, you know, it's not a panacea, but how that would help in a lot of ways.
So how do you envision a board would sit down and use the report?
Well, I would, selfishly, I guess I would request that they read it. But I would like them to, and I think it's for investors too, you know, for a board perspective, look at these six areas and see, are we demonstrating visionary board leadership? Are we doing these things? And, you know, in risk, does our board have an understanding at the board level of risk? You know, looking back at the financial crisis, in retrospect, it's obvious that a lot of the financial companies that got into trouble were taking risks that the boards didn't understand and didn't understand that they didn't understand, so they don't know what questions to ask. You know, that's one example. Similar to executive compensation, you know, and that works into risk. Is there short-term executive compensation that's driving risk? You know, how can we frame long-term compensation to make sure that that doesn't happen? How can we link long-term compensation better to strategy? That's one thing. One of the things that I came out of this that I'd heard about before and known a little bit before, but was really driven home by the panel we had, is to look for companies that have strategy messaging and strategy discussions that match their compensation. If those two things are matching, they're matching executive compensation to the long-term strategy of the company, and it's something that you rarely see, but I'm seeing it more than we did, you know, 10 years ago. And that's the kind of thing, as an investor, I'm looking for. I want to see what the strategy is over the long term. And then I don't expect a board or management to give me, you know, all the details and the secret sauce, those kind of things. But can I match the strategy that I see the company talk about in its annual report, talk about in roadshows, talk about in its quarterly earnings reports and calls? Does that match what I'm seeing in the CD&A? Does that match what executives are compensated on over the mid and long term? There's going to be some short-term compensation, and that's fine, but I think those two things should match up over the long term.
What about surprises when you were putting together the report? Were there any of those?
I was surprised at the level of consensus of the group. You know, we had investors around the table, and we had directors around the table. And I would expect, I expected a lot more friction than we had. And maybe it's, you know, we got a good group together, but I was surprised at, and if you read the report, you can see, you know, there's not agreement on everything. Sometimes we'll talk about, you know, this one person said this was a good idea, but, you know, a lot of the time we'll talk about the group thought or there was consensus around. I was surprised how much consensus there was around a lot of these issues. I think to some extent that's because we're talking about kind of broad issues of, we think these are best practices. We think a company needs to get their, or a board needs to get their head around compensation or culture, and that's a broad topic. We're not saying, you know, do these three things and culture will be okay. You know, if it was that easy, you know, it would already be done. But I was surprised about the consensus we got from the group, and a very diverse group, on what our recommendations should be.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised. I've been involved with some groups who are definitely the group was torpedoed in the first meeting, but that's good to hear.
Yeah, and if someone reads the report, we tried to be respectful of if someone. If I can't really think of anything that anybody objected to in the report on the idea side. There may be wording or something like I think we don't quote anyone directly, but someone say I think I said this and what what I meant to say was this and it was slightly different. But if someone if you read the report, you can see if something's an idea that one person had, we say that. And if it's something there was a consensus around or the group thought, we try to say that. And so you can judge for yourself about, there's this one idea. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I can see only one person had that, but a board might want to explore that, for example.
Yeah. So what about long-term? Where do you think, or what does the CFA Institute think a board should look like?
Well, I'd like to see, we would like to see more companies kind of taking this as a starting point. You can see, larger companies that have, that may have a governance staff or have a large corporate secretary presence, has more resources to do better corporate governance or better communications with shareholders. But I'd like to see this filtered down to more smaller and mid-cap companies who can take this as a template to start from and say, okay, to get better communications with share owners, we need to look, are we doing these half a dozen things? Do we have risk under control? Do we understand how to best link executive compensation to strategy? And just use this as a starting point. And I think it's a good way to do that. And then you have to hand it off to good people on good boards to make sure they're doing the right thing. And I think to steal a quote from Ralph Whitworth, we were both at the Corporate Secretaries Conference where this was debuted earlier in July, and he said, I think in one sentence, kind of summed up the whole tenor of what we were trying to do with this report. And I kind of wish we had just asked him to do that beforehand because it could have saved me a lot of work. But he said what he wants on boards, and for anyone who doesn't know, Ralph Whitworth is with Relational Investors, an activist investor who's been doing this for a very long time. But what he said, what he wants on boards is he wants someone who is likable but doesn't worry about being liked.
Yeah.
Someone who can work well with others, but that isn't what they're going on a board for. They're not going on a board as a lifetime achievement award or anything like that. They see it as service to share owners, and they want to do a good job. And they want to work well with others, but they're not there just to be liked. And I think that's a great starting point for any director and what a board should be.
That sounds good, and I know that's definitely probably wasn't the case 10 years ago for many directors, but I imagine now it's definitely seen more like the job that it is.
Yeah, and we've both been in governance long enough to see that there has been a great deal of progress over the last decade. But I can see it getting better over the next decade, hopefully.
Great. Well, this has been great, Matt, and I really enjoyed reading the report, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brock.